ITL Fantasy Podcast Network presents In a World of Football Podcasts That Sounds Like This.
Welcome into our podcast on Suck Talk Radio.
And talk like this.
Wah, 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 wah. Don't draft the running back. Wah, wah.
Because they're not.
So much fun.
Bogman, let's not overreact here.
The In This League Fantasy Football Podcast. Featuring Bogman.
I'm eating crow here.
Yeah,
D. Gordon. Oh, f***. God damn it.
And the Welsh.
No, we have other things to talk about. I wouldn't wear a yummy t-shirt in either.
Oh boy, gotta do my job.
Playing on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and TuneIn.
Burn it to the ground!
Coming to your ears. Now.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, you are now listening to the In This League Fantasy Football Podcast with Bogman, with Welsh, Badass Billy Boggs, the Road Dog Welshie James, and Boggs has got two words for you.
Draft time!
It works. You know what? We'll work. I screwed up the top.
Hey, I had I was enthusiastic, which I never have been during that intro ever. I figured you would be happy, but because I didn't say suck it, you were like, meh. Yeah, lukewarm.
You just said suck it, so now I'm happy.
Suck it.
I completely forgot the characters too, by the way. Badass Billy Boggs and the Road Dog Welshie James. Completely forgot the characters. Doesn't matter. It's not a wrestling podcast. We do have that in this ring. This is the In This League Fantasy Football Podcast, the OG edition. Because yes, on this very feed, you have had NFL Draft War Room podcasts, which are always going on in the offseason, where Bogman is talking to industry people, preparing you for the draft, talking about draft prospects, probably reality, translating some to fantasy. The NFL draft, as we are presenting this to you, is roughly 36 hours away, as you'll be listening to this, roughly 36 hours away. And the In This League Fantasy Football Podcast, it's coming back in full form. So what that means is that would be Bogman and myself, but Bogman's always got you covered. So make sure you subscribe to this podcast if you are new and joining along. On the episode today, Bogman and myself are doing full pre-NFL draft coverage. So here's what we got on dock for you. We're going to go through a couple of the news and notes. We are going to go through some mock draft madness. There's one person who is getting you all hyped up and worked up in mock drafts. We're going to take a look at some of the final mock drafts that are out there. Then we are going to do a mock draft on here, Bogman's. And we'll explain all of that in just a little bit. There is video available for this episode that we're doing. There's a whole bunch more, like Bogman's ultimate NFL draft sheet. Bogman did a mock draft, which I think we should publish, even outside of this. If you are looking for the ultimate draft sheet, you want to check out this video. You're going to want Bogman's NFL draft fantasy values, plus GroupMe rooms for the NFL, comedy secret shows, and tons more. Like, well, I don't know, live NFL draft streaming coverage on our Patreon. Come and sign up, patreon.com/ITL Army. Be one of not few, the many and the proud that support Bogman and I. We are independent podcasters, and you can get a whole bunch of perks joining up on our Patreon. All you got to be is the sergeant level or above, and Bogman has a three-day draft extravaganza happening on our Patreon. 2 days are behind our Patreon. The third day will be open on our YouTube. But just come and sign up if you want to support us. I know it's an odd time because it's right before the beginning of the next month. But hey, you want that draft coverage, sign up today. If you don't, just wait a couple days and come and sign up and hang out with Bogman and I, patreon.com/ITL Army. We appreciate it. And people are going to want to stick around for next month and the next episode, where we will be accumulating all the information of what happens around the NFL draft. And that's what we're going to do today, though. We're going to talk about all of the craziness that is leading up to the NFL draft. It's been a little bit since you and I have done a pod together, Boggs, but I know you're ready. I know you're lock, stocked, and cocked with some NFL draft coverage.
Man, I am ready for the draft to be here. It has been a long, arduous process. You know, it always is every single offseason. But I think, you know, the thing we really need to worry about here, Welsh, with the draft is, are we all going to be alive come Thursday? It's a big question that's been kicked around by one person.
I do have to tell you,
your head coach.
There's no guarantees. As we know, there are no guarantees in life. Boggs, Kyle Shanahan, like, I'm a 49er fan. You know, maybe new listeners don't know this. You're a Steelers fan. I'm a 49er fan. I have been for a long time. And I've, you know, Steelers fans have experienced stuff. Cowboy, everyone's experienced stuff. I've experienced a decent amount of my time as a 49er fan back into the, I mean, I was born in the 80s, but, you know, since the 90s when I was really paying attention. And, like, I've seen a lot in 49er-dom. I've seen a lot around the NFL. But what Kyle Shanahan said the other day was, like, top three in my mind of the most asinine responses to a super basic question that surrounded the pick. Because the 49ers, they traded the house. And they've had a lot of pressure on them.
It's almost they are who we thought they were. Playoffs, you know, it's... Yeah. I don't know. I think because everything pre-draft kind of gets washed under the table as soon as the draft happens, that it probably is not going to go to the moon like those did.
Well, there's but a difference.
This is still pretty dumb.
There's a difference between them. Those were memeable moments of intent, like playoff, you know, like the pitch went.
They were
up
both and then, mad.
You're and right, we slammed right. the table. This was.
I want just, winners.
This was like crazy talk, because what I was getting at is, like, the 49ers, they've put themselves in this situation, and this does not give me confidence, because we all know on Thursday night, the NFL draft starts at 3. Now, the Jets, I think legitimately the Jets could maybe pull some crazy thing, you know, what if they took Josh Fields or something like that? But Justice, for intents and right. purposes, the draft starts at 3. The 49ers traded the house to get and move up to this pick. They traded away the future picks, and it was an all-in effort. So what you would assume is they are locked in to make that jump. Well, then, you know, there's been a lot of criticism and questions around, like, is it Josh Fields? Is it Mac Jones? 49ers and how they were looking at guys, blah, blah, blah. All of that's been kind of like whatever. We've all sat on the sidelines. But then all of a sudden, over the last couple of days, it seems like the pressure is getting to the 49ers. And I feel super unconfident about this entire process now, because you have got the team openly coming out and saying, we're really cool with five guys. Like, listen, Bogman's cool with five guys.
I love five guys.
But that's extra large. Not
That's right.
Five different players with the third pick that they said they're comfortable with. And then Shanahan then goes out and he's like, you know, there's five guys you really like. We could have sat back and waited to.
Why didn't they trade to pick five?
That's my point. That's the confidence that I don't have in that statement. Oh, there's five guys. We could have waited. We just want to put it in our own hands. You didn't just put it in your own hands. You traded your entire future to make this pick. They finally come out and openly, like, I know they've been a little wishy-washy. They openly said, like, we're getting a quarterback. But then Kyle Shanahan makes the most wacko statement. All of this is all building up to them asking obvious questions. A reporter asked Kyle Shanahan, will Jimmy Garoppolo be on the 49ers roster on Sunday? And this is what Kyle Shanahan had as a response.
I can't guarantee that anybody in the world will be alive Sunday. So I can't guarantee who will be on our roster on Sunday. So that goes for all of us. I can't guarantee that anybody in the world will be alive Sunday.
I'm sorry, Kyle?
I can't guarantee that anybody in the world will be alive Sunday. So I can't guarantee who will be on our roster.
I mean, does he know something that we don't know?
Yeah. I mean, is he Q? Is Kyle Shanahan Q? What's happening here? One more time for the people in the back.
I can't guarantee that anybody in the world will be alive Sunday, so I can't guarantee who will be on our.
It almost sounds like Sunday. A threat.
I mean, it sounds like he's super high. Like that's like that's like next level high. Like all of the stoners in San Francisco were like, I really like Kyle because he's totally right. Will we all really be here tomorrow?
Are we even live now, man?
Like, I don't. Guess what? I don't need. I don't need my football team to be super existential. I need them to be super transparent and super prepared. And guess what? They're not transparent, and they do not feel super prepared.
I think they are super prepared, but I think that
you think this is something else, though. You think there is smoke behind this fire?
You just can't trust anything a GM or head coach says this time of year. They're especially right now with the draft, like you said, being about 36 hours away. You know, it is The false rumors are ridiculous. There are two rumors about the Dolphins today, Welsh. One, that they're really liking Penei Sewell. And two, they like Waddle over Ja'Marr Chase as the number one wide receiver on the board. So, you know.
Oh, man, that FanDuel bet right now would look real good.
They might have. Yeah, I mean, Will posted it. Still, Waddle's plus 850 right now. But, I mean, what does that mean? Is Chase going to be picked at five and then they like Waddle over him anyway? Like, what are they trying to do? I don't understand what the different rumors are for. And then, you know, there's a rumor today that the Steelers like Kyle Trask. They have him as a top five quarterback when I think all five of those QBs could go in the top 10.
And we're going to talk about like all this stuff, but bringing it back to the 49ers is what I was asking you is you like, and I'm losing my mind over here.
I don't know what to believe,
but I'm losing my freaking mind over here. Kyle Shanahan is an absolute psychopath right now. He is 100% on Indica with 20 mil for sure. He doesn't know what he's talking about. They're saying they'll trade this stuff. I have no confidence. And They're sitting here with what looks like an obvious situation, and it looks like they're going to go with a flab McQuarterback and Mac Jones. But I'm over here panicking. You don't believe any of it. You're sticking to your guns. People will see it in just a little bit, because don't give it away. Later, when we do this live mock draft, you are going to stick to your guns and what you think they're going to do. You think 49ers might be playing chess when we're all sitting here flopping around as checker pieces. You think they know exactly what they're doing and they're screwing with us?
I think they know exactly what they're doing. I don't know if I know what they're doing, but I'm just going to stick to my guns and say that
I feel less confident now after you just said that. I had a little bit of hope that Bogman was super confident. What you just said, I'm back to anxiety.
Okay. Well, I still hold to my guns that the third best quarterback in this draft.
Don't say it. Don't say it.
Not the guy that has been rumored with. Yes. I mean, everybody knows who it is. Who I didn't pick him, but I won't say it. But it's not Trey Lance or Mac Jones. So figure it out. It's real hard to figure out after that. But I just, you know, and even the Jaguars came out the other day, or Urban Meyer said something in an interview, like, who are the quarterbacks you guys really dove deep on? And he said it was Zach Wilson, Trevor Lawrence, and Justin Fields. So those are the top three, according to Jacksonville, at least. He didn't even bother looking in on Trey Lance and Mac Jones. So, or doing that huge deep dive of, you know, private investigators and medical records and all that stuff. Blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, exactly. So, you know, I don't know. I can't remember which former GM said it, but he said, the first thing I would do on the Monday after, or the Sunday after the draft, was go to church and, confess all of my sins, because I had lied so much for a month leading up to the draft. Like, you know, they just leave misinformation
very
all
very
the time.
It's about that.
Crazy.
Yeah. You're very adamant about that. What I'm saying is like your statement of like, I feel I know what they think they're going to do, but you don't know what they're going to do. That takes
they
me.
Know. Yeah.
But here's my problem with that. Here's ultimately my problem with that. I think if what you are laying out is your scenario, then I think it's a chess and checker situation. What the 49ers will do to everybody when all is said and done is this right here. They'll say, we were always taking Mac Jones.
Yeah. I mean,
we were always going to do this.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Everybody wanted to talk. Everyone had an opinion. We were always going to do this. They will present confidence in every form of it.
Well, are you supposed to say? You know, that's always my like.
Well, maybe have some confidence in it before the draft and not say, yeah, there's like five dudes that we really like. You traded your entire future up to three. Maybe we could have stayed and got a guy that we like. I don't know how much I want to edit, but what are you talking about? That's where I'm stuck with. We don't need to make this about the 49ers.
No. But that is the interesting part of this draft. If the Steelers were picking at three, dude, I would be all over it. I'd be just like you. So, you know, it is interesting. I mean,
well, the 49ers, they own the control of what we don't know in this coming draft.
Right.
Like, we know Jennifer
whole
Lawrence.
Whole draft could flip. From pick three on,
we know the red songbird is going one, and then it's Zach Wilson.
Yeah, that is why there haven't been these pre-draft trades quite yet, because we're not sure what the Niners are going to do. Are they going to, you know, Kyle Shanahan could be like, no, we're moving up here to take Kyle Pitts this whole time. Now we have Kittle and Pitts. What were you guys thinking? I have no idea. Yeah. No, I mean, it'd actually be a decent pick for them.
Well, too. But see, that would be the ultimate smokescreen if they said that after they said we had to trade it to get a quarterback. Like, they're acknowledging that. And they're creating and building no confidence in Jimmy G. And, you know, there's a lot of conversation around.
He's going to be traded before the draft.
Might be cut. He might be cut before the day is gone. And we'll see if they're going to go. I mean, Mac Jones would be the closest replacement to just literally replacing the same quarterback you had to Josh Fields, who would be a little bit of a change systematic for what the team wants to do and how much Kyle Shanahan, the Shanahans have always been difficult and known to be above the game, smarter than the game. And instead of adapting to players as much, it would be getting players that adapt to their system. We'll see where it goes. The 49ers hold the cards and, you know, they could really change the scope of the draft, or they could, you know, just do what has been cleared to everybody. And that's the excitement of this. And that's what we're going to talk about. Some of the mock drafts that are out there in this last 24 hours are pretty fascinating. Bogman's going to lay out a really great one that we're going to use here in just a little bit. Let's go through a couple other quick notes before we get into all the crux of it all. And we have a complete 49ers podcast. And I would tell you, you know, if you are ready for my freak out, I mean, I wouldn't sell it like this always, but like, if there was a time our Patreon might be worth, like, just to get a reaction, it might be within the first hour on Thursday when I'm on, because I will be on with Bogman for a bit. Our boy Casey Bubba is going to be on and stuff like that. Like, I could get elated, and I don't know, man.
Let me just ask you this, because I know on the radio we talked about this, and you said you would be happy if they took Justin Fields. I don't know if you'd be... Yeah. Cartwheels happy, but you would be happy.
I'm not sure I'd be cartwheels happy about anything, but I'm gonna
paint a scenario right now. If they took Jamar Chase, if they just gave the middle finger to everybody and took a wide receiver, you would be so happy about it.
Yeah.
Now, let me just say this too. In any NFL draft, if the Niners don't take a wide receiver with their first pick, and it doesn't matter what the roster looks like, they could have 8 Pro Bowlers on their roster. If they don't take a wide receiver in the first, the Welsh is disappointed, unless they had that number one overall and it's a Trevor Lawrence level quarterback. You'd probably
to be fair though. That. This is the first year that doesn't exist because Ayuk and Debo, they fill the void for me. They fill the void with Kittle. I am happy.
Thanks
with
for
that.
Sticking to the bit, Welsh. Geez.
Well, no, but I'm saying, but to your point though, but here's the difference, because you're not wrong. If they took Jamar Chase, I would probably dance around this room. I might do a truffle shuffle, but if they don't take it, I won't be disappointed.
Last year, though, and look, Kinlaw didn't play up to. He's got to step up a lot to be a first round. Okay,
really good
but they got Ayuk, and how much do you love Ayuk now?
Yeah, I love Ayuk. Yeah, I know I do. And I try to.
And he went to ASU. Forks up. Let's go.
That's right. I try to contextualize. That's something else, actually. What I'm doing right now. That's a completely different thing.
Like that, but that.
Oh,
is
okay. Time. Yeah.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, no, you have to have the context of the draft and everything like that. And that's what I would try to do with the 49ers as well. But the 49ers, they also did some stuff in this draft that they are really solidifying themselves to this. So
who was that Stanford guard that the Niners traded back into the first to get a couple years back? Was it
he was the guy, the bully guy? No, and he wasn't the bully.
Garnett
guy.
Was that his name?
Jason Garnett, I think it was.
Okay, yeah, Josh Garnett.
No, that's right. Kevin Garnett. 49ers. Stanford guard draft pick. I think it was Josh Garnett. Boy, did that. Yeah, Joshua Garnett. That one made me happy. Oh, by the way,
you were so mad. Like you've been mad at pretty much every draft that has ever happened. But
this is
what year was that?
So this is a great article I found. I can tell you it's an article. It's the 49ers ranking the 5 worst first round NFL draft picks since 2010. And number 4 was Joshua Garrett, who was taken in 2016, who I don't think he's in the NFL anymore.
Garrett. Okay. Not Garnett.
Yeah. No, it is Garnett. I'm sorry. It is Garnett. Joshua Garnett.
Who's number one on that list?
I think it's gotta be Rashawn Woods, but let me look here.
Oh, was he 2010? No, he was before 2010.
Solomon Thomas was number 3.
What? Thomas
number
was good.
Number 2 is Reuben Foster. That should be number 1. Ooh, and the number 1,
Jamarcus Russell.
AJ Jenkins, 2012. You know what? I would argue in this article.
This is Niners first round picks?
Yeah,
or?
This is Niners,
49ers. Oh, I thought it was, I was like all around first round picks.
Reuben Foster is the worst pick by far. Maybe, and worst pick maybe of all time might have been Lattimore, which just didn't play. Just like, that's free money or anything like that. All right.
I remember him going like, yeah, I mean, I appreciate being drafted.
No, that was Glenn Coffey. Oh, yeah, yeah. No, you're right about that. Glenn Coffey was like, I'm going to go to the Army. And then Lattimore was like, that's super cool that you guys drafted me. But like, this is never going to happen.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, like, I'm drafting Tom Segura right now. Like,
he had his leg completely ruined in college. I mean, yeah. You know, guy was lucky to get out of that to be able to walk. So,
yeah. Yeah. Who do you think is in better shape right now? Tom Segura or Marshawn Lattimore?
I'll just go with the NFL athlete. So Lattimore.
Think so. Yeah, maybe. Some other stuff that's going. I like you. This you put Goodell Hugs are back.
Goodell Hugs are back.
It's not going to be a Zoom draft.
He's been fully vaccinated. So I think I screenshotted it the other day. There was an interesting list of the guys that are actually showing up to the draft. Let me see if I can find it. But yeah, we get Goodell Hugs. They are absolutely back now. Let me see. Where is this? I can't find it. I don't know where it went.
Okay. But, it doesn't matter. Like, I don't want to see Goodell Hugs, to be honest with you. You know what? I gotta be honest with you again. This is the second honest I'm dropping. I'd rather Goodell back in his house, in his office, doing the draft. I'd prefer him not there.
Really? I don't know.
I mean, the booing is fun, but I don't particularly enjoy his presence.
Yeah, you know, but I thought he's not going to go away anyway. So I like better when he's on the stage. People can boo him. He can hug the prospects or whatever. And we don't have to feel like we're caught in his creepy dungeon. Because that's what it felt like last year. It felt like we were forced to be down there, you know. And didn't he give away like Barstool thing?
They had an auction during it for someone during the draft could auction into next year, hang with Goodell in here, or maybe during the season or something, have a draft, an NFL game or whatever.
To be a regular season week. He was supposed to go there for like Sunday or Monday Night Football.
So Dave Portnoy from Barstool Sports, who is famously hates him, has the clown shirts, everything like that. He was not going to lose it. He won. He spent $250,000 to do it. And then the NFL a week later said, nope, we're not going to let you do it. And they didn't take the money for the charity because,
bad blood,
whatever it is. So, Goodell Hugs are back. Peter King says that the Bills could take Travis Etienne with the 30th pick. So look out for that. That would be awesome. Let's just get a bunch of running backs in there.
By the way,
you think that's a lock pick?
No, I don't think it's locked, but I think if Etienne is there at 30, that the Bills take him because they don't need much. They do need a running back though. And I would love to see him in that offense next to Josh Allen. That would be a lot of fun.
More rumors just to get you guys set here. Tom Pelissero says that the Patriots could trade up for Justin Fields. That's been a very popular rumor in mock drafts. We've seen a lot of that to 8 has been the popular landing spot, though. There is one person we're going to talk about their mock that it might be much more palatable for the Patriots to get him based on his mock. Peter King says that he would not be surprised if the Falcons traded Julio Jones during the draft, A, because the Falcons are in cap hell, and B, because the Falcons acknowledge they're in such cap hell, they have to listen on everybody. Yeah. Everybody!
They're in rough shape. I mean, next year, you know, it kind of seems like this might be the curtain call for Matt Ryan here. This might be it for him. I'm not saying it is, but it, at least in Atlanta, it could be the end for him. So they should be better next year. But Julio's getting long in the tooth too. I mean, if you can get something decent back for him, why wouldn't you do it? Like, what about you get that Chiefs late first round pick? I guess no, they trade that to Baltimore, so you can't do that. But maybe Tampa Bay is 32 or something like that. You know, I think they might have
here's a guarantee
problems too. But
if he gets traded, it'll be something that's going to annoy everybody. It's not going to be like fun, like me, like, oh, it goes to the 49ers. He's going to go to
to Green Bay for a fourth round pick or something.
Which, by the way, would be a great. Yeah, and we're going to look at it. We're going to be like, what the? Why would my team offer a third? Yeah, this exactly. It's going to be like a Devontae fourth with like a conditional third.
They go from nothing to, you know, they go from everybody wants that wide receiver in the first to now they have Julio and Davante Adams. That would be crazy.
It'll be a nightmare. The Chiefs traded their first round pick, a third, a fourth, a fifth in 2022 for Orlando Brown Jr. They also got a 2021 second and a 2022 sixth round pick. So it's essentially for this year. What matters is they traded their first, third, fourth, and fifth. They got back a two and Orlando Brown. They got a future offensive lineman, you know, who's going to be there forever.
Going to be playing left tackle because that is why he wanted out of Baltimore. So
yeah, exactly.
Eric Fisher's still a free agent. So who knows? Maybe he'll come back and play right tackle for them, but he might be dusted. So he's
kind of old. You mentioned a couple of the others. The only other one that is out there is Javonte Williams is the top running back on some team boards, according to Ian Rappaport. That's a very important one because there are some really interesting FanDuel props out there that we did on our radio show, which is on Sports Grid, called ITL and Sports Grid, which A, have the over under on how many running backs get taken in the first, and B, the first running back that gets taken. And I think if I remember correctly, Javonte is a very nice return because Harris is the go-to guy, and then it goes to Etienne, and I think Williams is third. That might not be the worst bet to try to lock in there if you're listening right now, because what I would watch for the sports books. If that number starts to deteriorate, that might be more and more circles are yapping about it.
Yeah, I'm trying to just find this on the fly. Let's see, positions. Okay, first running back drafted. Right now, Najee Harris is minus 230, Etienne is plus 185, Javonte is plus 650. And if you're looking at, this is interesting, if you're looking at wide receivers, it is now flipped. Jamar Chase is still minus 950, so looks like that Bengals Jamar Chase is kind of locked in. But Waddle has moved up to second at plus 850 above Devontae Smith, who is plus 900. So he's behind him. But after that, I mean, Rashad Bateman's plus 6,000. So
yeah. So just keep an eye on that Javonte Williams one. You know, anything can happen. We saw it happen with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And, you know, we just see that happen from time to time with these guys. Javonte Williams could be the guy, especially in the back end of the first round. I mean, the Steelers hold a big card to it, and we'll get to that probably here in just 1 second. They hold a big card to the running backs. If they pass, we could see some drops, but you never know. You might see a team trade up.
The first speed bump for me is the Dolphins at 18. You know, that's the first team that I think it's plausible without trades that a running back would go.
So late 20s, I think this is the year that you don't see those like late trade-ins in the 20s for quarterbacks. I think you're going to see it for probably a position player like a Javonte Williams or an Etienne, people that want to secure those running backs.
And I don't think this is as big a deal as the NFL people are making it out to be, but this class, because the NCAA is allowing an extra year of eligibility, like last year just didn't count for anybody. So it's kind of a wash year. We're going to have 6-year seniors, all that kind of stuff in the next couple of years because everybody gets an extra year. This is the fewest amount of prospects in the NFL draft in a long time. It's like, you know, 450 or 550, where it's usually in the 700, 800 number. So I do think that teams are going to trade future picks to get back into a round, to move up a spot. So I think we could see an incredible amount of trades here just because of the limited free agent signings that we're going to have afterward.
Well, something we might experiment with here on the fly. First things first, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to look at some of the mock drafts that are floating around and the one that got everybody sparked up because, you know what? This guy knows how to do it. He gets under Bogman's skin. So quick break right here on ITL. It's Bogman. It's Welsh.
Chris Welsh
said you were coming.
What else did he say?
He said you were the best in the parsec.
Scott Bogman,
former Imperial sharpshooter.
That's not saying much.
I wasn't a stormtrooper, wise ass.
Please excuse his lack of decorum.
In this league,
this is the way. Stop touching things.
Who doesn't love themselves a good mock draft? I know we all do. We all scour through it, and I enjoy actually digesting it more even in the podcast form, but you know, we're obviously going to go through here. And what is very telling, I always think it's very funny that some of these guys, you know, they'll do like 10 mock drafts and then you'll see a guy who clearly gets like information finally and then complete. Like my favorite is it'll be like Mel Kiper will have like essentially the same thing for like 9 mocks. And then, you know, 6 hours before he actually gets calls, and then it's completely different. It's like, oh, you can see how much you're just.
Oh, here's my final mock draft.
Yeah, exactly. Right, yeah. Now, one thing that is different, I think, maybe more than ever, and I'm not judging it because, you know, we have a paywall thing, but there are probably more than ever behind paywalls, you know, so you really have to, you know, you're looking to digest.
Most of the Mel Kiper Jr. and Todd McShay mock drafts are behind their paywall on ESPN Plus, which I know a lot of people bundle anyway, you know, because they have the Disney Plus, ESPN, yeah. Hulu, all that stuff bundled up. But, you know, it sucks that we can't go over them here because they're behind a paywall. But you said,
there is one we can go over, Bogdan.
I recorded CFP Winning Edge this morning with Xavier and Nick, and Xavier was bitching about this mock before we even started. He's like, Justin Fields at 32 is absurd.
Well, thank you for murder balling the even topic here. But Chris Sims, who Bogman absolutely hates from his UT days, and, you know, for what it is, though, Chris, I feel like, always gets criticized. I think he's great on air. I think he's a great pseudo bad guy. He like Skip Bayless is like a real bad guy who plays the bad guy. Chris Sims can play both roles. I personally kind of enjoy him.
Here's the thing. I don't like anything that's contrarian to be contrarian. Now, I will say that I don't think Chris Sims quarterback ranks are that. I think he does them.
That is, you know, where I was going with him, is he is superior in his evaluation of quarterbacks.
Right. He's been good over the last 5 years. He had Lamar at number one. He had Josh Rosen at five, which nobody else had. You know, other people may have had Lamar at one, but nobody had Rosen at five, except for Chris Sims. So he's been right about a lot of quarterback stuff. I mean, the other positions he's pretty terrible at, but the quarterback stuff, he does tend to get right, and he's a former quarterback. The reason I don't like him, it's not really for the on-air stuff. I don't care. Like, he's, you know, he doesn't make any difference to me. I know a lot of people hate Collinsworth, too. Collinsworth doesn't bother me. But
there wouldn't be an in this league if there wasn't Chris Collinsworth.
There would not. It would be called something else. So, yeah. But the thing that bothers me about Chris Sims is that the dude grew up with Phil Sims, a millionaire, as his dad. Went to Texas, should not have started because of his name, was terrible. Major Aww. Applewhite didn't get to play. And then, you know, he goes and he talks about $100 handshakes during visits at Texas. Like, you know, dude, you already have money. I bet you 90% of the other players don't have money.
You don't really have a tan. I just want to point out there's nothing tangible. You're just mad that he had a bunch of money. He had the ins, and then he outed Texas for $100 handshakes.
But like, does that guy need to say that stuff? Like, it's the worst thing to talk about that stuff. But like, you're already a millionaire and you're getting $100 handshakes, and now you're going to talk about it. It's just.
I get it. And it's okay. You can be in the place where you say, I just don't like this stuff. Like, I actually don't think anything's really wrong with it.
Sure. Finish off his career there.
So. And I think there's some interesting things about Sims. You know, people probably know, like, Chris
Sims. He's a fine person and he's not a complete D-hole, but
it's kind of an A-hole. Like, he used to do his show with Adam Lefke or whatever his name is.
Lefke, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and I thought it was interesting. They had like a YouTube or Facebook show. I'd watch it. I think Chris Sims is I think he's good in playing a role. The problem is he's vaulted into the know-it-all situation, and I think he evaluates quarterbacks really great. A thing that I don't know if everybody knows, plenty do. Chris Sims and Kyle Shanahan are like best buds. You know, they got like a tattoo together and all this stuff. So
they're both Texas guys. So
I look at a situation and I see that Chris Sims put Mac Jones at three. And I don't think Chris Sims doesn't have a line to Kyle Shanahan. I absolutely think those guys talk. And this is an interesting thing. I don't know if we'll ever get out of it. So, you know, Bogman let the cat out of the bag right off the top, but you all probably saw it, is Chris Sims mock, it's fine. I don't think it's that much different than the rest of the world. You know, Patrick Surtain's at 10. The top two are the same. He's got Mac Jones going to the 49ers at 3. Jamar Chase, 5 to Cincy. Devontae Smith, maybe a little interesting Miami. And he's got Washington in a trade for Trey Lance at 8. Standard stuff here. Right. If you're watching on the video, you can see it. But the headliner was that he dropped Justin Fields all the way down to 32, which got all the clicks in the world, and he posted his YouTube link to it with the picture and got everybody worked up. First off, because of, you know, like Justin Fields is 32. Second off, no team traded up beforehand. Third off, Buccaneers get Justin Fields. But I look at this a little bit different because it's like, hey, great. He got clicks. He did the thing. I see this in a evaluation standpoint of a mock draft, because you're right. I don't look at him and I'm not like, you know what I really want to know? I want to know what Chris Sims' linebacker rankings are. No, I look at quarterbacks and then I put some pieces together in pure speculation and I go, well, you know, he does have a direct line as a great friend with Kyle Shanahan. You don't think they didn't talk and maybe this happens. He, you know, Shanahan maybe doesn't go say, hey, I'm taking Mac Jones, you know, but you can't say it. He just probably gets on, but he gets on and he just Shanahan talks up Mac Jones and his accuracy and probably talks about the deficiencies that Justin Fields has. And it influences Chris Sims, maybe with a couple other people, to prove a point to throw Justin Fields and how far off he truly is in the conversation and the smoke of it. I've created this narrative. Because of money. I've created this narrative that Chris Sims, with his connection and his quarterback evaluation and with Kyle Shanahan, that I think that he is locked in and knows Mac Jones is going three. And I think through his own evaluation and the people he talks to has gotten negative reports, and that he truly believes that Justin Fields can slide. And if it happens, watch the hell out, because everyone's going to lose their mind because he was right. And you're going to hate it.
My narrative is Chris Sims is a smarmy D-bag. And I think most people would agree with me. It's not just the money stuff, but
maybe I haven't watched Chris Sims in a while. And I'm not as I'm jaded to being like, he was fine. You know, he entertained a little bit.
I mean, you know, Chris Sims is annoying in the same way to me that David Carr is annoying. David Carr, you can't have when on the NFL Network, when David Carr is on there and they talk about the top five quarterbacks in the NFL, you know he's putting his brother in there. You know, Derek Carr is going to be number five or number three something every single time. It's just annoying, you know. So Chris Sims kind of has that same, it's not the same stuff, but it's the same reasoning. He's annoying because he's going to say something smarmy and weird that no one expects. And I'm with you. This is the Cold War thing about the NFL draft. What is real information? What is misinformation? Right. So, you know, you could drive yourself crazy doing this stuff. So you can look at this and say, well, he is good friends with, Kyle Shanahan, they're buddies. So maybe Kyle Shanahan told him he's taking Mac Jones. So in his mock draft, he put Mac Jones in. Or Kyle Shanahan and him are buddies. So he wants to put out misinformation so teams don't think he's taking whoever it is. Doesn't really matter. And
now we're on to the Americans of like US and Russian spies. I get what you're saying. You know what? It makes sense. I'm not sure Chris Sims could. And I don't think that Kyle Shanahan said, hey, I'm taking Mac Jones. I think Chris goes, hey, what is your take on this quarterback situation? And he goes, Mac is in the same tier as Zach and Lawrence. We really like Trey Lance, but Mac is in another tier. And I got to be honest with you, Justin Fields is fun, but he's not in the same tier as Trey Lance. He could hear something like that. He could then dig in and to maybe make a little bit of a point, because I think it's asinine to think that Justin Fields falls to 32. I think a team trades into the 20s. But here's my main question about this, and let's move on to another mock, is that like, if Justin Fields is the fifth quarterback taken and he goes outside the top 15, you got to give Chris Sims the credit that, like, he doesn't have to go 32 to the Bucks, but you got to give him credit if Justin Fields becomes the player that has the slide. There's always the slide player that happens. This is a weirder year than ever. Medical issues. He talked about the epilepsy. You know, maybe the stage isn't big enough. I mean, I know there are people like, I saw a video, our friend Emory Hunt was on with Ross Tucker and making a case for Justin Fields over Zach Wilson. You know, so I know that's out there, but maybe in NFL circles, when you have COVID issues, you have quarterbacks that teams want to play now, that there's maybe more of a project feel that some have with Justin Fields. Maybe they don't like the accuracy. You got to love a big arm, but maybe they want to play it safer. And Justin Fields isn't in the tier that we think he is. And maybe we're going to find that from Chris Sims. Cause that's the only thing that I actually is worth conversation about Chris Sims mock is the Justin Fields situation. Everything else I think is purely speculative and kind of falling in line with everything that's going on.
I mean, I'm with you on that. So the thing is, we'll have to see, but if stupid Fields makes it to 15 and the Steelers don't trade up to take him, I'm going to be really mad.
See, that was one that maybe took me off the most, was like when I was going through and I was looking at the teams, I'm like, how would the Steelers, if he fell to their pick, they not take their future quarterback? I don't see it.
Because they like PC Principal, apparently, Kyle Trask. Have you seen, do me a favor real quick before we look at this mock. I want you to, I know you haven't watched a lot of South Park recently.
I know. I actually did watch the pandemic special.
Okay. So do you know what PC Principal looks like?
Yeah.
Okay. Google Kyle Trask in his face.
By the way, is this a controversial take? Quarantine special? Wasn't funny.
I mean, did you watch the...
Watch the whole thing on HBO Max. I watched the whole thing uncensored even.
I thought it was funny.
I didn't laugh. I don't think I laughed once. And I was... I don't watch it, but I have a good sense of humor.
I mean, honestly. So, yeah, maybe. I'm not like, this is supposed to be funny, but this is how people are exactly answering. Just look up...
He's always got his helmet on. And then there's a picture of Charles Manson, apparently, on the feed.
What?
I don't know. I see what you're saying. He has the same facial.
If he just
features.
Puts on those Oakleys, he is PC Principal.
Let me type it in. PC Principal. Let me see if I type them in together. Oh yeah, someone did it. This is pretty good. Yeah, I see it. Just give him those sunglasses. All right. So the next mock we've got up here, and all we're doing is we're going through and just taking a look at a couple of the leaders in the industry that you guys might care about, and what is their final mock to the close of final mock. We're only going to do two here. We can mention a couple others. This is PFF's last mock on Sunday. They might drop one more. I imagine the day before, but we do have an updated CBS one. So just a quick look on the PFF one. You have the same top two. At three, they have Justin Fields. So this is where the world goes up. And they even say, they said the debate was not between Fields and Mac Jones. They say it was between Lawrence, Wilson, and Fields. Fields could have been the first or second overall pick, blah, blah, blah. They go through all their stuff. This is PFF. Very, very interesting. And I'd be for this. And this is where you are truly at with this. 49ers taking Justin Fields, which in theory for many people would start a theoretical slide for Mac Jones, because it is very likely, but you know, because Mac Jones is this, like, you know, more pocket presence, classic, high accurate passer. You know, he's not a game changer. And
I think he's a really good quarterback. But I think the level, the top end level you're getting out of Mac Jones is probably like when Kirk Cousins is really on his game. You know what I mean? That's what you're getting out of him, which is a really good quarterback. That guy can go and win a Super Bowl. But how much different is top end Kirk Cousins versus top end Jimmy G, right? Yeah. And that's what you're getting. So it doesn't make sense to not get more upside at three.
I mean, that's the problem of why the fit makes so much sense for the 49ers and Kyle Shanahan's system, you know, looking for high accuracy, not looking for the quarterbacks to, you know, to play this like massive, massive role in game changing. So your next couple picks, Atlanta has Kyle Pitts. That's been pretty standard, huge, huge playmaker, helps in the swan song for Matt Ryan. Jamar Chase going five to the Bengals. Trey Lance in a trade for the Denver Broncos, trading to six, get Trey Lance. So what do you think about Lance still going above Mac Jones? He has not gone in this mock, and Denver trading up for it. I think this is a very likely situation.
I don't think it's a likely situation, but if this trade would happen, it would mean that, because remember, the Dolphins traded from 3 to 12 with the Niners and then flipped with Philly back up to six to get a guy that they really want there. So them to trade out of that spot, Denver would have to be offering way more than they dealt to get up to six, because they really want Lance. So,
and that might be the situation that happens in it.
Yeah. I think it's more likely that Denver would trade with Detroit to move up two spots.
Detroit,
because Carolina has talked to New England that there are already discussions, if a scenario pops up, where New England could potentially trade with Carolina for that 8 pick.
Well, this is what would make this interesting, though. In this mock for PFF, they have Jalen Waddle going 7. So he's become the, you know, number 2 wide receiver, going to the Lions, which makes all the sense of the world. But check this out. There's no way on the planet the Carolina Panthers could trade with the New England Patriots, even if they like Mac Jones, out of it if Penei Sewell is out there at 8. There's no chance they're going to trade out of that 8 pick if Sewell's there. I don't believe
it. I don't think they would either. But if New England or Denver or whoever it is, wants Trey Lance. Quarterbacks are just a different level of trade.
But Lance is gone in this scenario. So what I'm saying is this scenario, Lance is gone. You only have Mac Jones. He's it. And he's the reason. Even if you put Mac Jones as the quarterback that goes six to the Broncos, let's say, and eight is there. If Sewell's there, there's no way. My only point is
I agree.
We don't see Sewell going down to eight. And there's no chance I think they trade out of it if he was there.
I agree with you because I think Sewell is the number one offensive tackle prospect in a while here. So I agree with you. But there have been, and I haven't seen Pelissero or Rapoport or anybody else come out and say this, but it feels to me like the Slater versus Sewell is closer than a lot of people are giving credit for. And I know a lot of evaluators, I think maybe DJ has Daniel Jeremiah has Slater over Sewell. So that there's no way that one board doesn't have Slater over Sewell. So
one thing that people,
I don't think it's the Panthers though. So
Chris Sims had Slater going 20, which people did not like. Miami Dolphins are here at 9 now, and they take Devontae Smith in this mock draft. And look at this, Mac Jones to New England via a Dallas trade. So New England trades up to 10 in PFF's mock with Dallas, where every mock draft has had Patrick Surtain the second. And New England trades with Dallas and gets Mac Jones at 10. So all the quarterbacks go inside the top 10, just a different run. This is quite a scenario that they've built in the top 10, and I'm here for it. I'm here for all of it. I love it.
I think there's going to be a lot of trades. I like the fact that they're moving and shaking, and I like the guys that have gone.
I really like this pairing too of New England and Dallas in here. So
I mean, and Mac Jones gets a lot of comps to Tom Brady. Obviously not a, you know, six-time Super Bowl champion, all that stuff, but the style of play, you know, that pocket presence that gets the ball out quick and processes really fast.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of debate that he processes fast. So
your next couple picks, you've got 11, the Giants taking Rashad Bateman. Philly is in here at 12 via the other trade. They have Patrick Surtain who goes 12. The Chargers at 13 take Christian Darrisaw from Virginia Tech. Minnesota at 14 takes Rashawn Slater, and 15 Dallas, who traded town, takes JC Horn. So they still get their cornerback. You've got some offensive linemen going in here, and Surtain goes 12 to Philly. Again, they're really painting an interesting makes sense scenario. I very much am here for, because what you have to remember, like you're pointing out, is there's going to be a lot of trades.
Yeah.
And everybody is sticking to the same game plan of their mock drafts, while also saying there's going to be a lot of trades, but not really truly accounting for it. To me, this is really accounting for some of the craziness that can happen. And I like it. Bogman, 16 through 20, you've got Caleb Farley. You've got Christian Barrymore to Vegas. Dolphins have 18. They take Jalen Phillips. 19, Washington takes Micah Parsons. It might be a little bit of a fall. And Greg Newsom goes to the Bears at 20. Anything in there that sticks out?
All of these make sense. And the only thing that maybe might not after today, but once again, could be misinformation, is that there are rumors that because of his medical stuff and he's had two back surgeries, that Farley could fall to the second round now. So, but at one point he was a number one cornerback prospect and it wasn't really a question. So, the Cardinals taking him at 16 looks a little weird now, but I still think it makes sense.
So, just the last little interesting ones, where are your Steelers in here? Steelers, they take, Elijah Vera Tucker, guard, with the 24th pick. We see Terrence Marshall going 26 to the Browns. There's a position player for you. Let's see. Anything else interesting? Nothing else really interesting.
I mean,
Rondell Moore going to the Bucks at the last pick.
That would be huge. I like that one. But the Packers not taking a wideout and taking Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah from Notre Dame would be a lot of fun to see, just to see the Packers fans' reaction. So
it would be pretty good. So the last mock we'll take a look at, and again, I stated before, the last one that we did was PFF. You should go and support them. Check out their site. Not trying to take their stuff. If anything, we're supporting it. Same thing with CBS here. And the CBS one is the newest mock that is out. It is, as we are doing this, it's 4 hours old, as you are going to be listening to this, if you listen.
And
right
I haven't
away.
Seen it yet, so I'm excited to see it.
Yeah, it is not going to be more than 12 hours old. And let's see, this is from Jonathan Jones over at CBS. So the first overall pick is going to be Trevor Lawrence, obviously. Second, Zach Wilson. The 49ers, Mac Jones. So we're back in the Mac Jones territory, Boggs, with the third overall pick. Kyle Pitts at 4.
Okay.
Penei Sewell at 5.
I think that's locked in for Chase. I mean, I think they should take Sewell, but I think they're going to take Chase. So
6 is Ja'Marr Chase. So we have no Trey Lance and we have no Josh Fields.
And then the report just came out. You know, this is 4 hours old, but the report's probably 2 hours old that the Dolphins like waddle over Chase apparently. So I don't know. And who knows? Once again, is that misinformation? Is that real? I would assume it's real, but
here's a trade that you spoke of. This one has them, the Patriots trading with the Lions and taking Trey Lance.
I really like that trade for both teams. The Patriots need a quarterback. Maybe Trey Lance isn't the answer this year. Whatever. Keep Cam Newton around. And by the way, a guy like Trey Lance, it'd be really good for him to learn from a former MVP and a guy that took his team to the Super Bowl in Cam Newton. I think it'd be really smart. And Detroit needs so much. They might have the worst roster in the NFL right now. So to get more picks is smart for them. I think this really fits on both sides.
The next couple, we've got Patrick Surtain going 8. That's the first time we've seen that. That's a big one to the Panthers.
That'd be big for them to pass up a tackle, but maybe.
Micah Parsons 9 to the Broncos and Rashawn Slater 10 to the Cowboys. So this is a nice little deviation we're seeing as well. Jalen Waddle dropping down to 11. We have still not seen Josh Fields. So just pointing out again, Justin not saying Fields. Who did I say?
Josh Fields.
Did I say Dustin?
No, you said Josh instead of Justin.
Oh, Justin. Yeah. Sorry. What I was trying to say was, not that there's any like real truth to it, but this would be 2 straight mocks, you know, with Chris Sims and now CBS, a couple big platforms that are saying Justin Fields is going to fall. So just putting that out there. Waddle 11, Jalen Horn 12, Darishot. What did I say? JC? JC yeah. Horn. Yeah, sorry. I'm just all here.
So I think that's 2 in a row for Darishot to the Chargers. And I actually like that pick. I think it's a good one. But there have been real big rumors tying them to USC's Elijah Vera Tucker, the interior offensive lineman. So that is what I expect to happen for the Chargers.
Here's your big one, though. It has the Minnesota Vikings trading this pick to the Bears, and ooh, Bears at 14 taking Justin Fields.
I mean, look, the only way that Minnesota does a trade like that, because you don't get interdivision trades, especially to trade up to get a quarterback that could then torment your team for the next decade, is if Minnesota has evaluated Justin Fields and they think he's terrible, right? Yep. They think he's awful and they think the Bears are making a big mistake.
They called Chris Sims.
You're right, right. They're like, what do you think, Sims? And he's like, yeah, do that trade.
Do it.
So because I thought about moving teams up here, there, and going, oh, well, there's no way they trade because that's interdivision. So,
yeah, and that's hard. Devontae Smith falling to after the trade the Patriots did down to 15.
That would be huge.
Man,
I love that.
Cardinals, Zaven Collins. We have Kwity Paye, Tevin Jenkins, 18 to the Dolphins. Let's see. There's Elijah Vera Tucker going 20. So Elijah Moore, I haven't seen this. Elijah Moore, wide receiver out of Ole Miss, going 22 to the Titans.
So this one, there is I can't remember who said it, if it was Pelissero, Rapoport, or whoever it was, but somebody said that, and this is like a betting thing, that they expect Elijah Moore to be the 4th wide receiver off the board over Bateman, over Tony, guys like that.
Interesting.
So Elijah Moore looks like a first round pick, and look, you know, they liked what they took an AJ Brown out of Ole Miss last year. So why not add another Ole Miss wideout to this team? I like AJ Brown playing in the slot for them. I think they should get a bigger wideout, but that's just me.
There it is. Number 24. They've got Najee Harris going to your Pittsburgh Steelers, which I know you think is ultimately something that probably could happen. So he's the first running back off the board.
I think it's going to happen. I think if the Steelers are sitting at 24 and Najee Harris falls, or maybe if he doesn't fall and they move up a couple spots to get him, I think that they are going to take Najee Harris. So if he's there for them at 24, I think they'll take him over whoever else is on the board, unless Jenkins slipped. And I haven't seen a scenario where Jenkins has slipped. So
Kadarius Toney goes 29 to the Packers, which you like. And then look at that. Etienne going 30 to Buffalo, which you said is almost locked in. And then nothing really else interesting. I mean, you did have Asante Samuel Jr. going 26 to the Browns, but the position players are Toney going to the Packers and Etienne going 30.
And that would be the one just right after that where they have the Raiders trading up back into the first at the end.
Jamin Davis.
Yeah, I that would be, he's got a lot of helium, Davis does, so that would be a good one too.
So those are the mock drafts. There's going to be plenty more. Unfortunately, a lot of the guys, I think the NFL Draft Network, those guys do a really good job. The Draft Network, they're probably going to have a day of one. But, you know, when you're going to be looking for Kuiper, there's going to be a lot behind paywalls as you're going through. This is just to give you a taste of where it's at. The final run here is Bogman and I are going to go through a mock draft. So sit back, sit tight. Bogman's going to mock this baby. Let's go.
Hey, in this league.
Look at us. Look at us. Huh? Who would have thought?
Not me.
Not me. Not me.
Who would have thought?
Not me. Not me.
Look at us.
Look at us.
Who would have thought?
Not me. Not me.
Bogman, you have pulled, speaking of the Draft Network, they have got a very nice tool that we are utilizing here. And just, you know, for simple, you know, issues of you putting this together for the video feed that we've got. And they have got a mock draft machine, which allows you to do trades. And now I want to say you did a mock draft that I actually really enjoyed. I think I would love to see you publish one on Patreon. Would you publish that one, or are you going to do one like this?
I'm going to do, you know what? I think I might do a two or three rounder tonight. We'll see. We'll see how much time I have.
Post it Wednesday. So when people are listening to this, are you saying there's a mock draft available for them on patreon.com/ITLArmy?
Let's go ahead and say there is a two round mock. I don't think I'm going to get into the weeds with 3 rounds.
More than we need.
Yeah. 2 rounds is enough. I will get that posted tonight. You know, I'll have little breakdowns, you know me, especially with writing stuff. I can go overboard. So I'll get one done tonight.
All right. Well, make sure to support this guy right here. That's a lot of good work. And
you're gonna have
to
do a lot of the baseball sheet tonight. So
yeah, that's fine. That's fine. All right. So we've got the Draft Network, which, you know, hat tip to them. I really do think they've been doing a really good job in a space that is, you know, it's a big undertaking for them to go out, but they put a lot of content out here. So we are going to use theirs. And Bogman is going to be able to, on the fly, I'm going to comment on these, on the fly, make trades, all that stuff. We don't want to go crazy on every single pick because we don't want this to be an hour and a half. So let's spend time on the stuff that's really worthy of like trades and stuff like that. But Bogman, you're on the clock for every single team. First pick, Jaguars. We don't really need to go through it. This is clearly Jennifer Lawrence as Mystique in X-Men.
That's right. Jennifer Lawrence, number one, two. The Jaguars, number two, Zach Wilson.
Let me stop you 1 second.
Okay.
Just real quick. Do you think, like, this has been sticking in my head. Do you think there's any scenario, and it's funny that I'm saying this because we have been on this, like, anti-Justin Fields kind of a thing. We're seeing a lot of it. You think there's anything out there that the 49ers maybe got wind that there is a lot of smokescreen out there that maybe the Jets love Justin Fields? There are some teams that absolutely love Justin Fields and see him as maybe the number two quarterback. I told you, Emory Hunt is out there making the case for him over Zach Wilson. Do you think with all the hubbub, because for the 49ers to trade into that pick, well, hold on, just like I still have a hard time believing that they needed to trade up to 3 to get Mac Jones, like he would get it go. Do you think there's any scenario where the Jets pull a fast one where we think the whole thing is set up and they took Justin Fields and the 49ers knew this was coming to get Zach Wilson at 3? Because there's no scenario where Zach Wilson falls at all. He would become the de facto number 3.
Here's the reason I don't think that happens. Because I think if there was any chance of that happening, that Vegas would have sniffed it out and the lines would look really different. So I think because Vegas is pretty plugged in, you know, they're not going to make bad odds and all that stuff.
Every team has got a guy. They got a guy in the clubhouse.
That's right. That's where somebody needs some money somewhere. So
exactly.
I think they're plugged in, and I think it would have.
You
been,
give it like a
you would have known
2% chance.
Right. Yeah. And if it does, it would be amazing. So
and it would and then it would
it like, would shift the entire draft. Dude.
It'd be really me would. Actually. Thinking, oh, the 49ers it might smart know what they're
you
doing.
You know, I say it would shift the draft, but it might not. It might just be Justin Fields goes 2 and then Zach Wilson goes 3.
That's why I think it would be that type of scenario, and I think you would have a spot where people are like, wow, the 49ers were playing chess, but unfortunately I think they're playing like uno right now. Sorry. So we're at my 49ers pick with the third pick. They traded. They are taking who, Bogman? Because you're sticking to your guns.
Justin Fields out of Georgia. Let's go. Or out of Ohio State. Let's go. Okay. Originally went to Georgia. Next one, look, and I've played with this because they have a trade thing here. You can go and trade a pickup. I've tried the Broncos move up to four if Fields falls, or maybe even taking Trey Lance or whoever. I'm not going to do it for this mock.
You don't think Atlanta trades this pick?
No, I think now they've kind of become obsessed with Kyle Pitts, and he's the guy for them. So we're going to go with that. I'm going to stick to what I've been hearing and not what I would do if I was Cincinnati. So I'm going to take them Ja'Marr Chase. Okay. This is where I feel like we really start to question things is with Miami, because now
no trades. I just want to point out you're saying this is gonna be a big old trade thing. First five picks, not a single trade.
No, we could see, like I said, because we've seen the three quarterbacks go, maybe we see New England move up. I don't think so though. I think the next pick is where we move up. This is the decision of, do we want, for the Dolphins, do we want to, you know, protect the blind side here, which would honestly be moving Sewell over to right tackle because Tua is a lefty, or do we want to get him another weapon in Jalen Waddle? But I'm going to stick to Penei Sewell here at pick number six for them. Now, this pick is getting traded.
Oh, we have a trade. We have beep, boop, beep.
So let's just go ahead and move up. Okay. For the Broncos, only two spots. But I think because Carolina and New England have talked,
because New England is probably calling on this exact pick. You think Denver is going to have the proper tools? They're going to go up and they're going to make this happen.
Let's see how much it costs here. Can you see this, Welsh?
I can see it all. Yeah, Broncos. Okay,
so
and
go to NFC. Go to the Lions. All right. So we go to next. We're going to go the 1-7 for the 1-9. What do we want to add? What would be your first pick to add?
It's probably going to have to be, I think you go a third round this year and a second round next year for only two spots.
Well, a third already kind of the green bar here. I don't know if, you know, let's just try that. Maybe okay. You move up two spots and you add a top 100 pick, move back two spots. I think that's good for the Lions. Yeah. So, okay. Let's see. Do they?
Lions are evaluating. This is very cool by the Draft Network.
Boom. They accepted. So, okay.
So we got it done.
A nice one. All right. So now
Broncos on the clock.
Broncos are on the clock and they're going to go with Trey Lance.
Okay. So Mac Jones is your slipper.
So now we've seen New England and Carolina have talked. I think this is another trait here.
I was about to say, like, I think this is, there's one quarterback left if they're going to make it happen. Now New England could, and I just want to point this out here. Just follow me here. You could look at this murderer's row of guys: Carolina, Detroit, Dallas, New York, Philly, Chargers, and Minnesota, and go, none of them are going to take this quarterback. But what if a team like the Bears are making the call and there's another team tried to trade in? New England might be going up against themselves in this, but I like what you're doing here. They're going to get their guy. They're going to get their quarterback, not risk it. And what is it going to cost them?
So looks like two number ones would do it, a number one next year, but New England's frugal. So I'm going to take that out. We're going to play around with this a little bit. Let's go.
I think this is that third.
One and a two.
I feel like they would go a three and then like maybe a two next year.
Three and a two next year. All right. We'll do that. I think that, let's do this. All right, let's do one and two.
This is like old Madden trades. You're just like, I don't give up that much. Okay, let's go.
Let's see. No, they denied it. So we're going to bump it up to a two. We'll take the three away, add the two in there, send the offer now.
Like I said before.
And boom.
Done. Boom. All right. Got it. All right, so New England has now traded up to eight, and they are going to solidify their quarterback?
Mac Jones.
All right, there you go.
Now, look. I don't know that there's anyone on the board that a team is jumping out to get. I think this also helps for Detroit because Waddle's still on the board. That's their biggest need. You can see the team needs here also. Yeah. So I'm going to go ahead and give them Jalen Waddle. And I think it'd be smart for them to trade another pick. I feel like a team might be moving up here.
I don't know. I feel like a team might be looking at a guy like Rashawn Slater. You know, a team that wants to, I don't know, like a Chargers. You know, maybe a Chargers would want to trade up a couple spots, get a guy to protect Herbert.
I think it'd be Minnesota more likely, and that's interdivision because, like I said, I think the Chargers are locked into Vera Tucker. So I think that's who they want. So here I'm going to give them Waddle. I'm going to stick with Patrick Surtain to the Cowboys. They do need offensive line, but I think they can get some in the second round.
Okay, so no trades by Dallas.
The Giants are up now. This one is interesting. There's a lot that they need, but I think the best player on the board right now is Rashawn Slater. So I'm going to give them Rashawn.
You don't think they're going to trade out of it?
A team like
the Vikings. All right.
Gettleman always screws it up, dude. Every single time he screws it up. And he's talked about, like, people were like, why don't you guys ever trade down? And he's like, well, we've tried and no one will do it. And remember when they took Dexter Lawrence or whoever, like four overall a couple of years ago, everyone was screaming like you didn't need to take him there.
You know what? I'm just throwing this out here. I wonder if a team like the Dolphins would want to trade up to this pick for more offensive line help for the future.
Now, I think if the Dolphins move up, it's to take DeVonta Smith here. So, I mean, we can try it. Let's see.
Let's try it.
Let's go to Miami because it would make sense. I just think it's going to cost too much. So let's see, because you're moving up from what is it?
18
to 11. Yeah, it's significant. So let's see what the Giants can do here. So next, let's give 18 ones. And we want the
and they got two twos. So this is great. So trade the 50.
Trade the back one. See that? That
okay, but then let's throw in a 2020 fourth round.
2022 fourth round. Yeah. Throwing a bullet at a train there. That did nothing. So let's try a
third round.
Dude, look, I added a first for next year and nothing.
Oh yeah. So the Giants are not coming off of this.
Right. So I don't think that's gonna happen. So let's give them Slater.
All right.
Now this one's difficult for me for Philly. But because I think it's cornerback. I think JC Horn is a good pick here, but I think with DeVonta Smith still on the board, I think it's where they have to go. So I'm going to go ahead and give them DeVonta Smith, the wide receiver out of Alabama. This one I've said before is Elijah Vera Tucker. He is down here.
For the Chargers at 13, take Elijah Vera Tucker. All right. So now we're 14 Minnesota. Trades have kind of stopped here, Boggs.
Right. So this one is interesting because what they need here, you know, I think there's only one real answer. Interior offensive line, there's not, you know, there's not anything on the board here in the top 10 picks, according to Draft Network, which isn't, you know, say all be all, you know what I mean? But I think Darisaw still here. They definitely need a tackle. So that's what I'm going to go with, which really sucks for the Panthers because they missed Darisaw by one pick. But there's a lot here.
And that goes Tevin Jenkins?
Tevin Jenkins is still here. I like him a lot. And I think that's why they traded back to 15, because they can pick up an extra pick and still get an offensive tackle here. So let's go with Jenkins for them. This one is easy for me, the Arizona Cardinals. They've been tied to a bunch of different players, a bunch of different wideouts. Zaven Collins has come up for them. But for me, I think it's JC Horn because they need a corner because Patrick Peterson's gone. This one... for the Raiders, Welsh is also easy to me. Are you disagreeing with any of these, or are you locked in with?
No, I mean, I think the only thing I'm looking at is, you know, with what you've talked about with trades, I feel like we would be seeing more trades based on what everybody thinks. And this is a prime situation because I feel like there are a couple teams you've talked about that are going to look at their players and not be sold and would move off. So like, I look at like Philly, I look at Minnesota, I look at the Cardinals. I mean, I agree with the Cardinals actually with JC Horn, like the Raiders here. Like I feel like, but I like, who are they trading up for? You have to tell me. Like if there's so many trades, where are guys moving up and where are they going to happen? And I don't see a wide receiver with 4.2 speed for the Raiders to take here.
Right. Exactly. So the Raiders are actually kind of obsessed with Micah Parsons. He's got some off-field stuff that I think is going to make him slip. We saw him go, what was it, 9 in one draft, and it was like 13 or 14 in another one, right? So I think him slipping to 17 is about appropriate. They really need middle linebacker help in Vegas. So I think it's kind of easy. And that's why I'm not doing trades here, because I think we're coming to the end of the line for some of these, like as far as a drop off goes at offensive tackle. I think that's over with. I think at cornerback, it's, you know, there's a drop after J.C. Horn as well, because Farley has the medical stuff. So let's go.
So you have Micah Parsons going to the Raiders at 17.
This one is the most difficult, I think, because we gave them Sewell, right? So now for the Dolphins, I think you can go trade out. You can look at the wide receivers here, which is a huge
push on Terrence Marshall right now. You said Elijah Moore. A lot of people feel that are out there. You've talked about running backs.
Right. So edge rusher here is, I don't know. I like Jalen Phillips, but he has some medical stuff. I don't think the Dolphins are going to mess with him. So for this pick, this one's kind of tough for me. So I
you know what I think, just on this under, didn't you link running backs to Miami? Because I'm just throwing this out here. Wouldn't this make sense for Miami to trade? So follow me here, because this could be two things. Wouldn't it make sense for them to trade back? But what if they only traded back a couple spots, got another pick, and then traded back into the first round? Or if they don't want to pay three guys first round money, Miami trades back and they go with one of the running backs, you know?
I think Miami could take Javonte Williams here. I mean, you know, early in the second.
But that's what I'm saying is, like, wouldn't it make sense if there was a team? Is there a need? Is there a team? The Packers, you know, would the Packers try to move up to 18 to get a wideout? Is there a wideout here? And they take a Javonte Williams, the Dolphins do with the 29th pick, something like that. But yeah, you tell me, this is your pick.
I don't think there is like a clear in a way, like, this guy is here. This team needs to move up. The only one that makes sense to me would be if the Steelers really want Najee Harris and the Dolphins call him and say, hey, look, we're going to take Najee here unless you guys, you know, offer us something really good. And as you know, and as I know, the Steelers almost never trade up. They traded up for Devin Bush a couple years ago, and it was the first time they traded up in the first since they took Troy Polamalu. So it's, and Kevin Colbert has been the GM that whole time. So I just don't think they trade up here. So it kind of, like, I want to save Najee for Pittsburgh, but I kind of think he goes here. Okay, so
then, well, this is your mock. Yeah, this is the Bogman mock.
So we're going to give Najee to the Dolphins here.
Okay. So that now maybe have created a concern, just throwing this out here. If Javonte Williams is really a want, people are going to see the Steelers at 24 without Javonte Harris, and you have Etienne and Williams sitting out there, just throwing something out. You might now have three running backs taken in the first, but all right, Washington football team up at 19.
Yeah. This one to me is kind of an easy pick. They've been linked to him during the whole process. I think it's Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, the linebacker out of Notre Dame. They need a linebacker. They need a tackle too, but the big ones have gone. So I think this is kind of an easy snap pick. A lot of mocks have him going there. The Bears could trade out of this spot. They need a lot, but I think because of Matt Nagy and pretty much his last year, this, I think, is going to be a surprise wide receiver pick. I really do. So out of all the guys that we see here, I think, what do we know about Nagy Welsh? He likes to be tricky. That's why they brought in Goodwin. They use Cordell Patterson as a running back. So I think the player most likely to fit that scenario is going to be Kadarius Toney, the wide receiver out of Florida. So let's go ahead and give them Toney. I think they trade Anthony Miller at some point during this draft.
So still no trades into the 20. This is prime trade territory, though.
Right, right. So now we have the Colts and the Titans, and I think they could both go the same way. I think defensive back is your cornerback specifically is on the table here. And I also think the wide receiver for both teams. So I'm going to say that the Colts might have been one of those teams talking about Farley slipping out of the first round, so they could then go ahead and take him here, because like I said before, he was the number one guy on a lot of boards. So let's go with Farley here to the Colts. And I think the Titans then take a wide receiver because they lost Corey Davis. And I think Bateman fits. But I told you, Welsh, I think that Elijah Moore is their guy. They took Brown out of Ole Miss too. So I'll let you do it. You're going to go more traditional outside with Bateman, or do you want a slot guy like Elijah Moore? Because that's really all he can play. So you're kind of taking the slot away from AJ Brown if you take Elijah Moore, in my opinion.
I mean, I would Elijah Moore sounds like the guy, but one thing I would point out, and this can't come into the play, it can't come into play here. Well, go with the guy, go with your guy. I mean, you tell me. I it seems like Elijah Moore would be the play here because AJ Brown, they can move around more, and we also saw some guys that were like only slot guys like KJ Hamler and
you know what,
Eagles wide receiver.
Now that I'm thinking about it, because I mean, the Ravens just got themselves a bunch of extra picks, and the Jets are in play for a wideout, as well are the Jaguars.
See, that, okay, you just took it. You do okay. Your trade here. One thing I wanted to point while you're putting your trade together at 22 is it's not always this way, but boy, do you see when teams get their future quarterback that they like to pair with a wide receiver they can build, and the Jets and Jaguars both have a need. And I have a hard time believing both would pass that up unless there's a great offensive lineman. I feel like the Jets and Jaguars would really be wanting a wide receiver here as well. So I feel like this is this crazy wide receiver territory. So I mean, you have a trade getting together. The Tennessee Titans on the clock at 22 are trading with, it looks like, Baltimore.
Yeah, I feel like this is broken. Like, because I can put in a six, you know, the Titans aren't going to take an extra six round pick to move back five spots. And it's given me the green light here. So
but last time it did give you a green and it said no, just pointing that out.
That's true. But I mean, this is like all the way up to very, very likely here. So,
okay. Well, I mean, just put what you think, like, don't worry about that. Like, for like, what do you think be, a third?
Yeah. This second, third round pick that they have to fall back five spots. So let's get the Ravens ahead of the Jets and the Jaguars here, move them up a little bit in the first round, and they take Elijah Moore.
Okay.
So perfect. I like that. Okay. So now the Jets
the clock at 23. What are they doing?
I mean, they need a ton. You know, they could use a wideout, they could use an edge rusher. Defensive back, though, is really horrible for them. Bless Austin is their number one corner. He played a lot better than I gave him credit for last year.
Jalen Phillips still out there, though. He's fallen, but okay, keep going.
Phillips is going to slip a little bit, in my opinion. So we're going to go ahead and give them Greg Newsome, the corner out of Northwestern. Now my Steelers are up. You know, Najee Harris is, to me, it's between him and Javonte Williams as far as what running back can carry the load. ETN to me projects to like a Reggie Bush. You know, he's not going to be the guy that gets many in between the tackles runs. He's not going to be the guy that carries the rock 20 times a game. He's going to get 15 touches and you hope he blows one up. So they've been, you know, the Steelers constantly go BPA, and this guy can play a little bit of mid, a little bit of edge as well. I'm going to give them Zaven Collins because he's the best player on the board out of Tulsa. The Jaguars are up here. This is where I think we start to see some edge rushing go. I have put Pat Freiermuth, the tight end out of Penn State, in this pick as well. But I think it just makes more sense for them to go and get an edge rusher. They drafted Chasen last year. I don't know if he's going to work out as well as they thought. So I'm going to go ahead and give them Jalen Phillips out of Miami with this pick. And then for the Browns, another team that has just pretty much everything. There's not a ton that they need here. I don't think an interior defensive lineman is good enough. I know that PFF loves, or Draft Network loves Barmore. But for this, I'm going to give them an edge rusher. And, you know, Kyle Yates on Fantasy Pros talked about this when he asked if Joe Tryon was going to be available to some team in the 40s. He got laughed at by an NFL insider. So I think Tryon is a sneaky guy here. And I think for whatever reason, I think he's going to be tied to the Browns. Let's go with that.
Okay.
Now
the Titans at 27 who traded back.
They traded back. You know, we're looking at a wide receiver, a cornerback here for them. You look at corners. Eric Stokes is good. Kelvin Joseph is getting a little.
Asante Samuel.
Asante Samuel's a good one, too. I just think that they need a wideout. You need someone to take a little bit of pressure off of Derek
Henry. And you got the Packers coming up too. So, right. I mean, and we left Bateman, Marshall, and Moore still on the board.
Yeah. So for me, this is going to be Bateman. I think he fits better than Moore too. So we'll go with him to the Titans. This one is kind of an easy snap pick for me. You could give him a wideout. I feel like Marshall might slip a little bit because he had some medical stuff come out about his knee. So I think he slipped into the second round because of that. So we're going to go corner here, and they've been tied to him a bunch. I think it's Asante Samuel Jr. For the Saints. Now the Packers are up. I mean,
you know what I wonder? Let me just throw this out to you. Is do you think Javonte Williams, this to me is just this prime territory. Everyone knows the Bills are going to take a running back. Do you think there's a team at the top end like the Jets, like, I mean, I'd even throw out the 49ers, I suppose, that might want to trade up for a Javonte Williams that will need a running back?
That's a good call. Let's
49ers are going to be impossible for them to do it. But Packers move out of this position because the same wideouts are out there. I feel like this is a team that jumps in front of the Bills to either take Williams or Etienne because you're going to have less that's going to be available out there. So, you know, who are the first couple teams that are picking that don't want to deal with round two for their running back? So you have the Jets. Would they want to trade back up? I mean, they had an opportunity and they passed it. Is there what does the second round look like?
That's a good call. I mean, I have them all separated by team in here. So I always like the Wikipedia because they have, it's updated immediately and it's just simple. So Jacksonville, no, the Jets, maybe. Oh, how about Atlanta moving up to take Javonte Williams? They had the third pick in the second round and they just, we didn't have them trade, but let's do that. Let's go to Atlanta. And
The Jets stand out to me, but I guess they could have taken him at 23. But I'm fine. I think there's a trade for Javonte Williams in here. But you say Atlanta?
Yeah. Let's just see what the cost is here, because you get the extra year on the contract being a first rounder. So this might take a little more than we expect. So let's see what Atlanta can do. So we go 129 for 235. You're moving six spots. So let's see if a four would get it done. Looks like it would. Six spots, though. I think it would cost a little bit more than that.
I think it would cost maybe their third or a future third. Or future two. Yeah, future two might make sense.
I think a future two would do it. Yeah, I agree. So let's go with that. Okay. The Packers are evaluating. So we now traded the Packers out of the first round. Sorry, Packer fans, but Atlanta back up on this. I like that call, Welsh. That's a good one. So the Bills are shaking in their boots right now, but it's Javonte Williams, which means Travis Etienne is still here for the Bills. That is what I am going to give them. Boom. The Ravens lost both their starting edge rushers in the offseason. So that is absolutely what they have to take here. They've been tied to Ujulari a bunch. Easy pick for me. I think that the Bucs are still going to wait to sign Antonio Brown. So I don't have them taking a wide receiver here. I'm giving them Oway and pretty much everything, but I think the dude has the most raw talent and you still have JPP and Shaq Barrett there for another year. So I think Oway is the guy here for Tampa Bay. And that wraps up our first round. And how many trades did we have? We did Broncos and Lions, Patriots and Panthers, Ravens and Titans, Falcons and Packers. So only four trades. That's not a ton, but that is what your first round looks like.
I like it. Do you have it up? Repeat the, just go 1 to 30, just real quick on them.
Okay. So we got the Jaguars taking Trevor Lawrence, the Jets going Zach Wilson, Justin Fields to your Niners at 3, Kyle Pitts to Atlanta at 4, Jamar Chase to the Bengals at 5, then Penei Sewell to Miami, Denver takes Trey Lance, New England trades up and takes Mac Jones at 8, the Lions take Jalen Waddle at 9. Then the Cowboys take Patrick Surtain. New York Giants go with Rashawn Slater, Devontae Smith to the Eagles, Elijah Vera Tucker to the Chargers, Christian Darrisaw to the Vikings, Tevin Jenkins to the Panthers, J.C. Horn to the Cardinals, Micah Parsons to the Raiders, Najee Harris to the Dolphins, and not my Steelers. Kind of annoyed by that. JOK. I've come to accept it now, Welsh. I know I'm not a running back in the first round guy.
You're not.
But I kind of want Najee Harris.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I would too.
JOK to Washington, Kadarius Toney to the Bears, the Colts taking Caleb Farley, the Ravens moving up and taking Elijah Moore, then the Jets taking Greg Newsome, the Steelers taking Zaven Collins, the Jags taking Jalen Phillips, the Browns taking Joe Tryon. Then Tennessee goes with Bateman. The Saints go with Asante Samuel, Javonte Williams in the trade up for Atlanta. Buffalo gets Travis Etienne. Then Ujulari to the Ravens and Jason Oway to the Bucks.
There you go. First round. That's a live mock draft. So here's the big question. Your mock draft that you're going to post, do you think it's going to be the exact same first round, or are there going to be some deviations as you go through a little bit of work?
I'm going to make some deviations. Dude, the one that I posted in our sheet that I ended up not using on this because we did it live here, I did about 6 or 7 times. So it's going to be one of those nights where I am just going over.
So that is the plug. Come and check us out. Patreon.com/ITLArmy. You're just being an extra cool guy if you do it, because I know there's only a couple days before the end of the month. But you sign up, you can get the mock draft, and you can check out what Bogman's got. And when you do it, you can get ahead and get locked into our draft coverage, which we've got on Thursday night. Bogman will be doing pre-draft stuff. I will be in as well. I'll be hanging out for some of the picks. Casey Bubba will be there. And Bogman's going to have 3 days of good coverage for you. So make sure that you guys lock into that and support your boys.
We're going to have Hunston and Seeley on day 3. So we're going to have a lot of people. Eric Froton on day 3. I think Lob's going to come on Friday. So we're going to have people with me as well. So it's going to be a lot to go over.
YouTube.com/InThisLeague for the third day, because that'll be open to everybody. But it'll be posted on the Patreon if you want to subscribe there. Patreon, it will be exclusive Thursday and Friday, so do that. And the next episode we're going to be doing is, it'll be a post mock breakdown, but we will be focusing on the fantasy players. If there's a relevant thing here or there of a offensive lineman improving a thing, we'll do that. But it is going to be talking about the offensive skilled position and what your first year player drafts, you know, so what are the rookie ranks is really what it is. The rookie ranks, how these guys are looking on their new teams, and maybe even in the territory of where we'd be drafting them. So that's a big episode that you're going to get next week with Bogman and I. So make sure that you guys are subscribed to the podcast. We will be back with all of that next week. You guys can let Bogman know what you think of the mock draft at Bogman Sports. You can hit me up on Twitter at @IsItTheWelsh. Just make sure you guys are locked in here, because we're going to have more NFL stuff, and we've got all the good draft coverage coming up next week. So we will see you on Thursday. NFL mock draft, the best time of the year. For God's sake, no Mac Jones for my safety. We'll see how it goes. That's Bogman. I'm Welsh. This is In This League, and we are out of here, friends. Bye.
See ya.